right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time Snack with Time. Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testator, a writer of Names and Flavor Text for Wizards of the Coast and articles at Gathering Magic. Snacks. Back from his vacation
Snacking.
In the wonderful land of Germany.
The Germans.
The Germans. The one and only master of Weens, Mr. Mike Linneman.
I'm happy to be back. I heard you. I could have died, and everything would have been fine, but...
Oh, no, but dude, it was so weird. I tried to do the intro, and nobody was interrupting me, and it just
it's weird.
It didn't
weird.
Feel good. It
it's
didn't
weird.
Feel good. Luckily, Ethan, he was a gem, and he yelled at me towards the end of the episode, so that was nice. I appreciated it.
Well, I'm happy to be back today, because we got something, you know, a little saucy today.
Oh, yeah.
We got a little bit of flavor today. So, you know, I had to come back. Had to come back with a bang. And thanks to Wizards, you know, we love what they do. Reached out to us and said, "Hey, we got some fire. Do you want it?" And we're like, "Yeah, okay." And the card, we actually got a playable card. It's a very playable, flavorful card, which is chocolate and peanut butter, everything we want. Ant, what did we get?
So today we have. Preview card for the upcoming set, either Revolt. It is Ravenous Intruder. It's a one colorless, one red creature, gremlin. It's a 1/2. And its text is sacrifice an artifact. Ravenous Intruder gets +2/+2 until the end of turn.
It's an ATOG! It's an ATOG!
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, this card is what's known as a functional reprint. Of an old card we haven't seen since Mirrodin, called ATOG.
Right. So the ATOG concept was one of those old-timey things in the 1990s with Wizards that, you know, from back in the day, an ATOG was this made-up creature that sacked artifacts, and it came out in an artifact set. The original OG artifacts set, Antiquities. You sacked a bunch of stuff, it got super huge, and it won you the game.
Right, and I think the story behind ATOG, and actually a funny little quirk about its name, if you rearrange the letters in its name, it spells goat. And ATOG was originally just concepted to be like a goat, because a goat eats anything. Like, there's a, you know, common adage that goats eat everything. And so an ATOG is able to just munch through a bunch of artifacts, and that's where it got its goofy name.
It's true. And it's been redone, remixed a bajillion times. There are ATOG commander decks. There's even like an ATOG commander.
Oh, ATOG.
A TOG. Which is just like, what?
What are you going to name the legendary ATOG other than just ATOG twice?
I don't know. Whoever came up with that, A+.
There was definitely a flavor, like a Names of Flavor Text writer sitting there looking at the king of ATOGs like, the heck am I going to name this thing? Screw it. ATOG.
Go for it. Do it live.
Done.
Just right away. So fun image we got. And obviously, you know, if you're listening to this, you can already see the card clearly. Obviously, we upicked this card because of two things. One, name cool. Gremlin, I want a pet, clearly. Flavor text, fire. I'm going to jump into the art right away. And just to see what had to be done here. So... for people that don't know who Matthias Kohlroos is, he's an Austrian guy, and he's really, really known for doing Warhammer 40K covers. He's super, super good at them. He's done a bunch of them for some of their RPG books and a variety of other things. But what he had to do was take Vulcan Baga's Soul Ring, shrink it down, and then add a gremlin to it, making sure it looks right and reads right and actually looks, you know, plausible into, okay, you have to also take an old concept that everybody knows and don't mess it up. Like, can you imagine that pressure?
Yeah, I mean, just the pressure alone of saying, okay, I want you to take a well-known and highly skilled magic artist's masterpiece rendition of one of the most beloved cards of all time.
Right.
Shrink it down. And then create a scene around that is going to, it's not going to distract from the fact that it's a soul ring, but it's also not going to be eclipsed by the fact that there's a soul ring in there. Like, it needs to, as you say, like, read well or visually make sense, right, to the eye. And, like, that is such a challenging art description.
It's shockingly hard because there are these things that you have to mimic and reference older pieces. I think the best example would be the Invitational cards. Do you remember these? Where you had to paint the person that won.
Yes. And
you had to put them in the scene. This is very, very similar to that. The difference is you can paint someone's face close enough and they're not like a colleague of yours. And Folke lives in Germany. Matthias is in Austria. Like, they see each other at GPs. Like, you can't mess it up, because otherwise, the next time you're getting drinks, he'll be like, hey, man, what's up?
What did you do?
What's good?
My soul.
What's good, son? How do you feel about the name? How do you feel about that?
I absolutely love the name. The name is honestly my favorite part of this card, mostly because it helps to further the story that they're telling. So, like, as we've already talked about, the Soul Ring, the item in this art is Soul Ring. It's a masterpiece from Kaladesh, right? And in the flavor text of the masterpiece, like, we find out that it was this, you know, invention that was created. It was toiled over for years. But we know from the story that it was ultimately stolen, right, during the confiscation coup. And so now we see this image, and tied with the flavor text, it's talking about how it's kind of like locked away and it's in this dark area. And the flavor text is talking about amping up security. And there's just all these connotations that kind of make you think of a vault, or make you think of, you know, taking something that's really important to you and squirreling it away where you don't want anyone to get it.
It's like a museum after hours, except not like Robin Williams' Night at the Museum, terrible. Like, it's just dark and this thing glows in the dark.
Exactly. And it's just, so the name Ravenous Intruder, I think, perfectly encapsulates that story, in that you have a gremlin, which they are known to be ravenous. The mechanic obviously plays that up. But the fact that it's also intruding in this dark, secluded area to get at something that's very valuable, I think is perfect for the name for this card.
Okay, I dig. Gremlin makes sense. I don't like how, I like how gremlin's not like gremlin rogue or something. It's just OG gremlin.
Yeah,
okay,
they're just
get
gremlins.
It.
They don't have jobs. Their job is to eat stuff.
What's their job? Just eat things. They're basically like a dog. What about the flavor text? I don't recognize this name.
So this name is new to the set. So it wasn't on any of the cards in Kaladesh. There weren't any quotes to this Kurna Majan Luminary League. My favorite part of this flavor text is the reference to a consultant, because I am a consultant.
Okay.
And I just, like, I find that idea interesting, that on Kaladesh they would have security consultants, like people come in who their job is to, you know, analyze an area and say, oh, you know, this is what I think you need to implement in order to keep gremlins out, or, you know, something like that. So I just found that little nod to be interesting, because we don't see a lot of consultants in
they
the
just
world
don't like,
of magic.
You they know? Just don't like paying benefits on Kaladesh. It's fine. Right. It just makes sense. Okay, so that works. Kind of neat. Mechanically, need to have a new functional reprint of a established creature. Does this mean squirrels are going to turn into chipmunks?
Squirrels are going to turn into chipmunks? That I'm not sure. But I do like the fact that, so Atog as a card, right, fits perfectly in Kaladesh mechanically.
Yep,
Kaladesh
yep.
is an artifact block,
yep.
right? But in order to reprint Atog, that would mean you have to introduce Atogs as a species to the plane. They're already existing gremlins, right? And
yep.
so they would have competed for space. Now, could we, instead of having gremlins, just had Atogs?
Sure.
Running around?
Maybe.
Absolutely. They could have absolutely filled that exact same space, just like monkeys or some other kind of known magic
Bandar.
Creature.
The Bandar monkeys.
Absolutely. They could have filled the exact same space. But I like how Kaladesh kind of has its own take on this known magic trope. And so creating a functional reprint of the Atog allows me, as a flavorful deck builder, to create a Kaladesh-themed deck that still has that powerhouse Atog card that I would want, right? Because
okay.
I have a ton of artifacts flying around. I want something to get really big and punch my opponent in the face. And now I can do that and still be on flavor.
Okay, so obviously it's going to be standard playable probably, just simply because of how many things leave play and you have an instant sack outlet to do it. And also, clue right. tokens are still here. Like, they're not going anywhere.
Exactly, right. And like, as we've learned, you know, from like decks like the Aristocrats and things like that, having a sack outlet is super valuable. Like, just having that option of, well, this is going to die anyway, might as well buff my other thing. Like, that's excellent, you know? And so I can definitely see this getting slotted into at least one deck in the current meta. And
well, I think the entire meta is getting blown up. I really do. I mean, I think that while Emrakul is good, I think the sheer amount of power that's in this set is going to be pretty warping. I mean, there's free spells, for crap's sake. there's free spells. Let's just... Every time this has happened, issues arise. But I think that the revolt mechanic and this card alone is spicy. It's something I really want to see right away. And you even found a deck list. What's this all about?
So, yeah. So I found this, like, really old deck list. It was posted by this user on MTG Vault called Planestalker. Back in November of like 2010. But the deck is absolutely hilarious. It has the potential to have a one-turn kill using things like Crimson Kobolds and Elvish Spirit Guides and Ornithopters, Memnites, the whole gambit, but it uses one Atog. And so if you took this deck and you replace that one Atog with this one Soul Gremlin, then you would enable yourself to have this one-turn kill where you just punch your opponent in the face with an absolutely gigantic gremlin. And I think that it's hilarious.
I love it. It's better than the terror at the fairgrounds. Like, what we know, it's not terror at the fairgrounds. It is, oh boy, what is this? Oh boy, I'm gonna die. Terror of the fairgrounds. I remember arguing about this with somebody.
Arguing with me. You were arguing with me on Twitter as to whether or not this is a good name.
Like, it is that, except way bigger.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's absurd. Yeah, the terror, the interesting thing is the terror of the fairgrounds, like, the terror is a subliminal thing, like, it's implied. You know, you have a fairground and it's full of artifacts and full of inventions, what would be the terror of that fairground? Duh, a gremlin, because gremlins eat artifacts.
And that's like, awesome.
That just makes sense. But this thing is subtle in its own way because, like, it's an infiltrator. Like, it just skulks about and it's just sitting there, a 1/2, minding its own business. And then all of a sudden, like, you do some clue finding and now you got a pretty big threat on your hands. Like, it can definitely pop out of nowhere and steal the game away, just like it's stealing the Soul Ring.
And then hit for like 100.
Right.
Well, I love the card. I think it's super fantastic. As soon as we get higher res, we'll throw it in here too. You can see some of the things in the background, but we'll let people dive into that itself. Big thanks to Wizards on it. It's super fun to see playfulness again, a constant in Magic, that it's not gone. The whimsy isn't gone. It's still very much there. You just got to open your eyes and find some pieces. And here, luckily, there's going to be a pretty standard playable card that fits that entirely. Yeah.
And kudos to the artist, too, for actually making, because the Gremlins overall, they have a very, you know, fun, yes, whimsical, cuddly kind of, like, feel to them. But this one is very sinister looking. Like, the way that its face is kind of, like, at that downward angle, and it's cradling this object, and, you know, you can see the light kind of coming through its claw in the same way if you ever, as a kid, put, you know, a flashlight behind your fingers, and, like, you know, it would illuminate. It just kind of, it creates this very... almost like evil feeling presence.
He's got a scary looking snoot. I mean, he just does.
Yeah, like you can just tell that, you know, he means business. And when you have something as precious as a masterpiece, the idea of something eating it automatically makes that gremlin feel even more sinister than it already is.
I love it. I love this little guy. I'd still pet him. Well, honestly, that's all I got for it. Ant, you got anything else other than... It's awesome.
So the one other thing that I think is hilarious is that if you look at the flavor text from the original Sol Ring, it told us that the Sol Ring was made out of a band of sunlight. And so this gremlin is eating the Sol Ring. So that, by work of theorem, means that gremlins are able to eat the sun.
Okay. Okay. That's tinfoil hat is fully...
tinfoil hat speculation confirmed.
Ant is fully
gremlins,
on.
Gremlins can eat the sun.
Tin foil hat.
You heard it here first.
Oh, okay. Write that
Carrie,
down.
Carrie is just face palm.
Carrie is hurting right now. Anyway.
They're just sitting there, like, shaking their head.
It's just terrible. On that note, thanks, Wizards, for having this great time. We're going to play this like crazy. Ant, for follow-up ridiculous questions on your terrible theorem, where can they find you?
So we can discuss my theorems at AntTestator on Twitter, or you can go to my website at AntTestator.com, shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to tinfoil hat with you guys.
Sounds awful. I'm easily found, just putting my first name Mike and then Linneman, just making an attempt to spell it, or Medvorthos Mike on Twitter every day. Thanks again to Wizards. Thanks again to our Patreons for supporting us. We have some news on that soon, per always. Other than that, enjoy the rest of the card, enjoy preview season, and thanks for watching today.